The theme of Peter's second epistle emphasizes the necessity of Christian growth and presents to us the dangers of false teaching. This second book of Peter is principally a poignant letter. We see it was written by Peter with an awareness that his own death was imminent. If you see there in the opening chapter, in the verse 14, we read that, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." He presents then a warning that false teachers would seek to lead them astray in the opening verses of the chapter 2. Verses 1 and 2, he says there, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken of." And then we come here to our chapter 3, the chapter which we have read this morning. And the first two verses of this chapter 3 give hope that they would be mindful of the commandments which had been given to them by the apostles of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you have already noticed, as we have read this chapter together this morning, that on four occasions the word "beloved" precedes a command. There in verse 1, "The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets." Beloved, be mindful. And then in verse 8 we read these words, "But beloved, be not ignorant." And then into verse 14 of this chapter 3, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." So we see here in the course of the opening verses of this chapter, we see, "Beloved, be mindful. Beloved, be not ignorant. Beloved, be diligent." And then the final or concluding command of this aging apostle that he presents to the people, he leaves his readers, is, "Beware." Beloved, beware, in the verse 17 this morning. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Our text this morning is verses 17 and 18 of this chapter. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Consider with me Peter's command to be more like Christ, or we could say Peter's concluding command to be more like Christ. See, firstly, Peter's command to be more like Christ demands caution. It demands caution. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Beloved, beware. This word "beware" means being constantly on your guard, or constantly guarding yourself. Constantly guarding yourself. This is what Peter was speaking of here when he wrote these words. Beloved, beware. Peter was mindful of those whom he ministered to, that they all knew the truth. They were well versed in the truth when he said these words, "Beloved, beware." Why did he say them then? Why did he bring them before them? To remind them that knowledge alone was not adequate. To urge them to avoid complacency. To sidestep bullishness, brashness, boldness. Rather, he says, "Beloved, beware. Beware. Don't be a know-all. Don't think you know it all. That you can deal with these things that will come upon you. Rather, be on your guard. Beloved, beware. Lest ye also, being led away with error of wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Remember Paul's warning to the Corinthians. Wherefore let him that think he standeth what? Take heed, lest he fall. Sadly, there is many a know-all, no longer found in the house of God, no longer fellowshipping with the people of God, having neglected Peter's instruction here this morning. Beloved, beware. Oh, they thought they knew better. They neglected this wonderful instruction. They've lost out with God this morning. They've been carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, and suddenly they are nowhere at all. Surely these words present to each one of us this morning, regardless if we're just a babe in the faith or we've been saved for many a year. Beloved, beware. Present a challenge. We have heard the old aphorism used, or the old saying, it's not how we start, but rather how we finish that counts. It sticks in our mind. It hurts, it grieves us when someone finishes badly. What's your desire this morning? How do you want to finish? Do you want to finish well? I trust that's your desire. The same holds true of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that old saying. Indeed, as Paul puts it, we are in the race. Let us lay aside every weight, the sin that doth so easily beset us. So easily beset us. And let us run. Let us run this race with patience that is set before us. Many people who profess faith in Christ started out well. Eager, enthusiastic, and excited about their newfound faith in Christ, how they've been found of Him and they've received Christ, only then to succumb, submit, surrender to the attacks of the evil one, lose out with God. What was the error that Peter had in view when he wrote these words that we read this morning, which we meditate upon for a time here? He was warning of the danger of the believer being taken up with false teachers. Turn back with me for a moment, if you would, to chapter 2 again of 2 Peter, and just verses 18 and 19 as we ponder them for a moment. Chapter 2, 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error, while they promise them liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. There can be no communion, you see, men and women and young people this morning, between truth and error. I don't need to tell you today that oil and water doesn't mix. The youngest child could tell us that from their earliest days in school. You try all you want, they don't come together. And so it is with truth and error. They don't mix. Is it not a timely caution to both you and I this morning? A time when we have been encouraged to listen to online ministry due to the recent circumstances, and we have much to be thankful for. So thankful for so much good material that has been online, has been of edification to the saints of God, and we're so thankful for these means. We don't decry them. Many positives have come out of online ministry. I'm sure, nonetheless, you've received links to various churches, or so-called churches, services such as I have. And perhaps you've listened for a time and realized that there's no truth in what's been said here. There's no gospel in that. Or perhaps you've listened and you've been taken in by such this morning. You've been taken in by their enticing words. Oh, don't misunderstand me this morning. Well, I thank the Lord for the Free Presbyterian Church and love it dearly. I believe there are others within this land of ours who are faithful and doing a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, men and women and young people this morning, there are those likewise who speak great swelling words of vanity. They allure through the lusts of the flesh, yet live in error. And brethren and sisters, we ought to be careful. that we are not taken in by such false teachers. Oh, they may promise freedom. Oh, live as you choose. You can go drinking and dancing. You can do whatever you desire. And still call yourself a Christian. Forget about the scriptures teaching on holiness of life. Living a life that is separate from sin. That is God glorifying. What do we read there in verse 19? While they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. But sadly, is this not a lifestyle that many a professing believer is opting for today? Nevertheless, what is this aging? This aging apostle. Oh, this old man. He's been on the road for a long time. He has seen a lot of things. He has watched a lot of people. He has saw people falling away. He has saw and listened to these enticing words. And he comes along with love and compassion in his heart. And he says, beloved, beware. Beloved, beware. He gives this command to be more like Christ, demanding caution against falling into such error. Many misunderstand these words, fall from your own steadfastness, to mean that one can lose their salvation. However, this is not so. We are reminded of this fact in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life is given once by God, the child of God, for all eternity. The definition of steadfastness is established in truth. And you know, if you want to grow to be more like Christ, to heed this command this morning, you must remain steadfast. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. The word for steadfastness is used only here in 2 Peter 3 and 17 in our text this morning. And this, however, the same root word is used over in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. It's the same root word where we get the word strengthen from. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What significance there is when we consider these two words side by side. Steadfastness and strengthen. They're both derived from the same root word. And a true believer will remain steadfast. They'll not be taken in by such false teaching. They will be an example to the younger. In their steadfastness, they will strengthen their brethren. They will teach them an encouragement to the little sheep, the younger, within the flock of God. Peter is saying here, Christian, you will not lose your salvation. If you're genuinely saved and you fall away for a time, you will not lose your salvation. But you will lose your strength. You will lose your strength. And surely this morning, what such example is there in the scripture? Such a warning to us all. Is it not Samson? He lost his strength for a time. Peter's command to be more like Christ demands caution. But see also, Peter's command to be more like Christ, it involves action. It involves action. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is highlighting the fact that if you want to be more like Christ, if you want to remain steadfast, if you want to grow in grace, there must be action. There must be action. You know, anyone who thinks they know it all, they have arrived in this life, they usually find out to their demise somewhere along the line that there's someone who knows more than they do. We must always be learning. Every day ought always to be a school day, regardless what age or stage we are in life. A person in business this morning will know that there's no such thing as a business standing still. Rather, in doing so, it is actually, in effect, going backward. There must always be action, progression, improvements, reinvestments, just to keep a business moving forward, to keep it strong. And here in this concluding verse, Peter commands both you and I this morning as believers, if we want to be strong in our walk with God, if you want to be more like Christ, there must be action. There must be action. It just doesn't just happen. The theme of 1 Peter is that of grace, and then that of 2 Peter is that of knowledge. And here in this final verse, it provides for us a summary of the teaching of these entire two books. That is to grow in grace and knowledge. The two go hand in hand in the development of a Christian. When we consider this command, it involves action. It includes personal growth. The literal rendering of these words, but grow in grace and in knowledge, is be constantly growing. You should be growing all the time. You should be going forward in your faith with God. You should be one step further forward tomorrow than you were today. Growing all the time. We like to see our children growing and going on and strengthening. And so it is with the child of God. There should be that constant growth and progression. God's desire for all who know Him is for us to become more like Him. How can we do this? By growing in our knowledge of Christ. It stands to reason that we cannot grow to be like someone that we don't know. Perhaps here this morning, you're here and you've even tried to clean up your act, your way of living. You're trying to maintain this outward persona of being like Christ. You want people to think you are a Christian, but really you're not even saved at all. You know, you must be saved first. These verses here speaking to the believer, a challenge to them, but grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before you'll ever grow, my friend, this morning you must come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we urge you today to do that. Come before Him, repent of your sin, cry unto Him, even for forgiveness, and He will save you. He will save you. Now, the deeper our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the deeper understanding we have of Him, the more we become like Him. In our regeneration, our salvation, we come to know Him. We come to understand Him in repentance by faith, receiving Him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And this knowledge is not merely head knowledge of the Bible, but rather a heart knowledge. A heart knowledge of the Christ of the Bible. And there's many here this morning we can rejoice in that day. That day that the head knowledge became a heart knowledge. That transformation was made in our hearts, in our lives. Then we had that innate, intrinsic, that inward desire to come to know Him in a greater and a fuller way. This is what the Apostle Paul is speaking of over in Philippians 3 in the verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3 and 10. And Paul's heart's desire there is evident. He desired that perfect understanding of Christ. You see, Paul already knew Christ in justification. That once for all act had been wrought in his heart and life. He knew Christ. He was saved. But he wanted to know more. He wanted to be cleansed day by day. He wanted to know more of Christ in sanctification. He wanted to become more like Christ. That ongoing work in the life of the child of God, he wanted it to be his portion. He desired that powerful understanding of Christ. Paul longed for an ever-swelling understanding of the power that comes to the believer from the risen and the exalted Lord. He desired that particular understanding. He desired to enter in, to participate in the sufferings of Christ, enjoy the benefits that flow to the believer from them. The more we know of Christ through His Word, the more we grow in grace. The more we come to a greater knowledge of the God of the Bible, perhaps we can bring more clarity by divining this grace which Peter writes of here in our text in verse 18. But grow in grace. What is this grace? Well, it is a kindness towards mankind shown by the Lord Jesus Christ. Or it can also be defined as that God's unmerited favour toward us. You see, this grace or graces as are qualities which God bestows upon us. This grace, our graces are listed for us, if you look back with me in 2 Peter in the chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. We read these verses together, verses 5 through 7. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Perhaps you're saying at this stage, you've lost me. What are you talking about between graces and grace? I haven't a clue. Well, really what I'm trying to say to you this morning, men and women and young people, is this. These graces that are listed in these three verses which we've just read together. There is faith, there is virtue, there is knowledge, there is self-control, there is perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Each one of them are a grace. Perhaps you say, this is all very well. What relevance is this to me? Well, look very carefully with me then at the verse 8 of that same 2 Peter in the chapter 1. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's relevant to you. That's why it's relevant to me. We must abound in these graces. We must abound in grace. Only then can it be said that we are growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is more than simply increasing our intellectual knowledge of Jesus. Such knowledge has a place, but as we have seen there, it is listed just as a grace amongst others: faith, virtue, perseverance, godliness. Peter is talking about growing in a fuller and a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this comes by developing the Christ-like attributes or characteristics listed in this passage that we've just considered together. The more we grow in grace, the more we really know the Lord Jesus Christ, the more it is really evident to those around us that we know the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is the perfect personification of these graces. Therefore, growing in grace involves more than an intellectual knowledge. According to Thayer's dictionary, the Greek word for knowledge means to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, to know well. And consequently, such knowledge comes only as we demonstrate these Christ-likeness or these Christ-like graces in our lives. Oh yes, we have been saved by grace, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. But praise God, it doesn't end there. We are strengthened by grace, strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. We're sustained by grace. That familiar portion in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. My grace is sufficient for thee. We're supplied grace as God's people. The grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia, 2 Corinthians 8 and 1. We're even given singing grace. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, 16. And that has been evident this morning, even in this house already. Peter reminds us in his first epistle that our God is the God of all grace. The God of all grace. And you know, Amy Carmichael, the missionary to India from Malayal, could testify that God doesn't measure out grace in teaspoons. Rather, He provides grace in abundance for every situation in the lives of His people. It is impossible for one to grow in grace, to have Bible truth, or rather it is possible for one to grow in knowledge, rather, have Bible truth in our heads, but yet not grow in grace and display that same Bible truth in our lives. Christ is the key to growth in grace and in the knowledge of Himself and His work and His person. Peter's command, men and women this morning and young people, don't forget, it involves action, not stagnation. You know, I don't know if you've been out for a walk lately. Maybe in some wooded area or bypassing, maybe where you live, you walk down the road and there's maybe a little swampy area or something. And there's an area of stagnant water, and you think of the smell that arises from such. Because of the organisms, the vegetation that cannot survive in the water. Because of the scavengers cannot live in the water. The plants and other organisms, they all rot. More organic matter begins to rot in the stagnant water, and what happens? The smell gets worse. The smell from the stagnant water becomes more fouler every day. Because everything is dead. Stagnant. How do you get rid then of the smell of stagnant water? You keep the water moving. You keep the water moving. And brethren and sisters this morning and young people, how do you grow to be more like Christ? Develop in your walk with God. There must be action. There must be action. If we're to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter's command to be more like Christ demands caution. It involves action. But note also, Peter's command to be more like Christ, it displays conviction. It displays conviction. We see there in the last words of verse 18, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. It displays conviction. This command displays Peter's conviction, his utter dependence upon Christ, his utter hopelessness, his helplessness apart from Christ. It displays conviction. What is the result of spiritual growth in the life of the believer? It gives glory to God. It gives glory to God. Peter makes an acknowledgement. He displays the conviction that without God, he can do nothing. To him be glory both now and forever, he says. That's how he concludes. Tell me, are you heeding Peter's command to be more like Christ this morning? Are you exercising caution to keeping yourself and your family safe, separated from sin and all error? If I've heard it once, I've heard it I don't know how many times. Keep safe. Keep safe. And you know, all these things have their place. I don't decry it for one moment. I'm neither a virologist or an epidemiologist, and I can hardly say the words. So far be it from me to tell you what it should be scientifically. But I want to tell you, or I want to ask you something this morning. Are you keeping yourself safe spiritually? That's what my business is here today. Do you display the conviction that Peter did as he penned these words? That despite what you are in this life, what you may have achieved, do you put it down? Is it all a testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in you? What he has done through you? Do you grasp that this morning, regardless how old you are in the faith? If you're only a babe in Christ, as I've said already. You know, this closing doxology to Christ declares he is God. Eternally, equally to the Father in honour, he is worthy of all glory, him alone. And you know, we do well as the people of God never to forget that. Never ever forget it. This aging apostle, his closing words, to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. He speaks over in the 1 Epistle 4:11, if any man speak as the oracles of God, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Peter's command is to be more like Christ, demands caution. It involves action. It displays conviction. May the Lord take that which is of himself this morning and use it for his own divine honour and glory this day. We'll